Carolyn Maloney. Oh, wait, hold on.
Wait, in your feels about what now?
Oh, wait, I've got the, okay. Carolyn Maloney being pushed out by Jerry Nadler. Like, that has me feeling some type of way.
It's tough.
Yeah, I've been very, very in my feelings about that.
Well, look, thanks CNN, Governor, you know, for fucking up the redistricting process in New York. It's his fucking fault.
And those 88 people who didn't respond to the census and lost New York's congressional district.
Yep. Well, part of that is fucking... Look, this is the fallout from Trump fucking up the whole census process in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we can go back to why he was even in office in the first place. We can blame Russia, Comey, emails. Yeah.
Yeah.
The trickle down effect of stupid shit. How do I sound, by the way? I have no idea.
You sound good.
I don't want to be like booming through the mic the first time we recorded and I listened back to that, I was like, damn, why the fuck am I so loud? What is this? Yeah, let's not make that mistake again. I don't want to sound like I'm yelling at two women. That doesn't go over very well. In the 2022, we frown upon that these days. And there's already enough guys yelling at women as it is. We should shut the fuck up.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. How's my volume?
I think it's good, Carol. Sound fairly decent.
That's good.
Fairly decent. Thank you.
Yeah. Man, maybe reset your router one more time because I don't know. I mean, it's not, your volume's fine. You just.
No, but seriously, is it choppy or whatever?
It sounds like it's going to be on its way there soon.
Jeez. No, it sounds good to me.
It might just be me. I mean, it's entirely possible my internet connection is shit. I don't know. So as for the show this evening, what I wanted to do on Monday is no longer possible because the news just won't stop. It's been fun. Why is every week insane? Why is it so ridiculously and absurdly insane? I can't keep up. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, the same. Yeah. It's the fuckery is, oh my gosh. It's too much.
Yep.
Yep. See, that's why I told you on Monday that I would hold out on doing another legal analysis because I suck at it. And also because it would be, you know, irrelevant by the time we record.
Yeah, by Monday night, it would be irrelevant by Monday night. I mean, at this point, hell, that redacted affidavit for the search warrant could come out at any time by the time this is uploaded tomorrow or whenever the fuck I get around to it. I mean, this could be outdated. You're like, all right, that you guys relate.
Oh.
Bless you.
No.
Are you allergic to my bullshit? Is that what happened?
I am. I think that's it.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm allergic to my own bullshit. I break out in hives just staring at my own bullshit. Yeah. 2022. What can you do? But get drunk and try and forget about the shit. So. Then we'll get to it. How long have I been recording? Never mind, I'll figure it out. 3, 2. What the hell was that?
What the hell was?
Anyway, this is D Night.
This is Carol.
This is Ty.
And you are listening to Pardon the Interaction. And there's going to be a lot more people in need of pardons here soon because shit is fucking going bonkers in the news here again. It just seems to be the case every single week. The idea of, you know, planning a podcast around an investigation into an insurrection seems awesome until you discover that the person under investigation for inciting said insurrection is, I don't know what the term is, but addicted to crimes, who goes out of his way to commit every possible crime imaginable. And it dominates the news cycle because there's always something breaking about this investigation or that one, or the one you didn't know about, or the one you forgot about because, you know, oh, it was relevant 20 months ago, but it kind of like faded away and in the shadows, and then it pops back up because, you know, the president's daughter's diary is stolen by some fucking morons and given to some even bigger morons, and then the FBI arrest those people, and then the next thing you know, you got another headline that you weren't expecting, and like show you had planned out on Monday. Good luck trying to do that shit on Thursday. Good luck. So here we are. Here we are.
Okay, take a breath.
Sorry, people. I am frustrated with the news cycle. It's difficult to keep up.
Well, yeah, that's so we said we'll start a podcast. It'll be great. There's just this one streamlined topic. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Yeah. And now I need Adderall just to keep up with the news. It's not an ideal, not an ideal situation there. Yeah, well, at least we do have some good news. I guess we can start with the good news of the week. President Biden released his plan for student loan forgiveness, which was fucking incredible. It was awesome. I know he had made promises during his campaign that he would address student loan debt, and he went above and beyond what he promised, actually. The plan will actually provide relief to most student loan borrowers, over 43 million in total. That was some sexy shit. And it will completely erase the student debt of about 20 million people. Individuals with federal student loans who make under $125,000 a year, or couples earning less than $250,000 a year, qualify for up to $10,000 in forgiveness. And for me, one of my favorite parts is some of the qualified buyers who receive Pell Grants, which are, you know, basically grants to low-income people or low-income families who don't aren't very much money, they're eligible for additional relief up to $20,000. And why am I particularly excited about that? Because a large number of recipients of Pell Grants are actually Black people. So, hey, look, Joe Biden looking out for us, our fellow Blacks out there. Good job. You said you'd do what you could for us, and you're keeping your promises. We appreciate that, homie. Also, his income-driven repayment plan will cut the amount borrowers have to contribute each month to their student loan payments from 10% of their discretionary income to 5%, which is huge in a way. If you think about it, like it's the it is difficult to quantify exactly how much money that might save people. It could be, you know, thousands of dollars a year over the course of their student loan payments. And that is a huge number, which will help people beyond even the $10,000 of student loan forgiveness. So to that, I have to say, kudos, Joe Biden. You a fucking champion. Yeah, should yeah, be like this a, is- offer that man some applause or something. Like, let's clap. Give him a clap. Woo! Go, Joe Biden. You did it. You the best. You the man.
Yeah, so I mean, you would think that everyone would be happy about giving their fellow Americans this chance to get out of debt and poverty, you know, because of how important education is to everyone as the cornerstone to our society. But what I'm seeing is the sort of complaints like, I only want to give my tax money to banks that need bailouts. Why should I have to help people who like needed an education to get the job I insisted they have and I pay them nothing for? Okay. I'm getting a little too into character.
You sound a little disappointed with some people. Might there be some pent up frustration in this area for you?
It's just as someone who I don't personally have loans. So to me, the idea of everyone else having their loans forgiven, like everyone's like, I didn't get that. They're like, well, great. So I didn't need that. And I have no, thoughts that like any part of my privilege was like something that I did to deserve better treatment than everyone else, you know? So I'm like, why the hell should everyone else's life be ruined because I got something better than they, like, I don't know. I don't understand the stunning lack of empathy throughout people in the whole, just everyone. I'm sorry I'm not phrasing this in a more elegant way, but people fucking suck and they should let other people have good things without being dicks about it. I think that was very eloquent.
That's a perfect way to put it. Stop being a fucking asshole about good things happening to other people. Like, why the world would be a much better place. Yeah, you nailed it. Way to land the dismount. Ty, how do you feel about this student loan forgiveness plan that President Biden has laid out for the peoples?
I'm all down with, you know, that.
But I'm glad I didn't have to go after Ty. Yeah.
I too can hear the excitement in your voice, Ty.
I am. No, but I can't either.
The excitement has just completely taken a hold of you. You can't even get your words out. I totally get it.
I can't.
I believe the younger generation refers to that as not being able to even.
Yeah, you can't even right now.
You just can't even. You even?
No, I don't think so.
No, I can't even.
I mean, I can try to even on your behalf if that would be helpful.
If only a man could come along and put words in her mouth.
I mean, you know, look, I'm sure there's
and a now number. For our next segment, men putting words in women's mouth.
All right, that's my cue. So the best part about all of this was like the Republican response to President Biden's plan to forgive student loan debt, and that was to come out in unison and trash the Biden administration for, I don't know, doing good things for the people because it's unfair. You know, as a matter of fact, we have a statement from Marjorie Taylor Greene on just that. For our government to just say, okay, your debt is completely forgiven, it's completely unfair. Unfortunately for Marjorie Taylor Greene, the White House Twitter account had a perfectly apt response for that. And it was, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene had $183,504 in PPP loans forgiven, which, as you can imagine, set the internet on fire. It is ablaze with 419,000 likes at the moment. And then the White House Twitter account continued to roast Congressman Vern Buchanan, who also had over $2.3 million in PPP loans forgiven after he complained about U.S. citizens having their student loan debt forgiven. And then they continued to roast Mark Wayne Mullen, a congressman who had $1.4 million in PPP loans forgiven, who had the same gripe. And then the White House Twitter account continued to roast Kevin Hearn, who also had over $1 million, and so on and so forth. It was the most fire shit I've ever seen on the internet here. maybe I'm not familiar with some of the weirder internet memes, but this was pretty good for mainstream political Twitter. This is some dope shit. I hope Trump saves some room at Bedminster next to Ivana, because they just bodied a lot of people. It's insane. It's so good. I can't stop looking at it, actually.
Yeah, it's nice to see some backbone. I mean, we see it all the time in the legislation and the effectiveness of the administration, but what I meant to see is it's nice to see some petty shit. we all need that sometimes.
Yes.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah, Tyra, are you at the point? Are you also at the point where the White House is, where you just have no more fucks left to give?
And you just, I have zero fucks left. I have zero fucks left.
It was like life started out, and there was a whole field as long as the eye could see, all the way out to the horizon, and it was just a field full of fucks. And now in 2022, like, all those fucks have vanished. They're gone. The field is barren. It's an empty wasteland, and there are no more fucks left. And me, you, Carol, the White House, President Biden, a.k.a. Dark Brandon, a.k.a. this motherfucker is not playing no more. We're all out of fucks to give. Yep. Yeah.
It does. Yep.
Well, sure. Yes. In less happy news, on Monday, 2 weeks after the FBI search of Mar-a-Lago, Trump's legal team finally made a court filing, except it was in the wrong court, and it was 2 weeks late, and the filing was a bit of a mess. I'm assuming that the filing was intended to be some sort of a motion request a special master to sort through the evidence that was in the possession of the FBI after the search. But it was difficult to tell that from reading the actual filing. I don't have time to get into the details, of course, because we have plenty to cover. But yeah, go ahead and Google that. That thing is a dumpster fire. Again, Carol, like, you're obviously more qualified to be on Trump's legal team than whatever dumbass attorneys he has on his payroll. And I think the judge would be in agreement with that take, because the response was basically, yo, what the fuck is this? Among the issues the judge asked Trump's attorneys to clarify were such basic points as, what is the precise relief sought? Why this court in particular has jurisdiction over the dispute and not the court that the judge who had overseen the search warrant? And what legal standards apply when the former president is seeking an immediate injunction against the government while the legal dispute plays out? Basically, it was like, this thing was so bad and you guys don't know how to lawyer. I'll do the lawyering for you. Here are all the questions you need to ask. Have at it. Todd, do you have any thoughts on the quality of Trump's legal team and what the fuck it is they've been doing for 2 weeks where this is the best they could come up with?
Oh. No.
Yeah, good answer. No, that's hey, this is a throwback to last week's segment of unanswerable questions.
You ever get the losing side in a debate? I guess back in the olden days where you had to argue things in school instead of just on the internet.
I didn't.
Someone gets the losing side of that debate.
I didn't sign up for the debate team, but yes, I'm familiar with, two people divvying up two sides of an argument, one being an obvious loser on occasion. And Trump's legal team, they drew the short straw on the losing argument side. But unfortunately, they couldn't even argue the losing side well. I mean, I don't know. Like, I've got no answers. Unanswerable question. Well,
it was really fun for that few minutes when we thought that Trump was going to represent himself. But really, it was just that his lawyers didn't file through the court filings or register appropriately in advance. So they just had pro se, which is for himself, show up as the attorney of record on the PACER, which is like a legal tracking system that all courts use for filings and motions and stuff. So it's just some avalanche of procedural incompetence. Yeah. I mean, I've seen, you know, Jenna Ellis, so it's a high bar for worst. I don't need to pick on her specifically. I'm just offended that she hasn't blocked me on Twitter.
There's still
time. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. In a throwback to last week's reckless speculation, Carol, we need a sounder that was like, oh, Carol was right. Because in your reckless speculation, you were like, oh, I think one of the media personalities that one of the Trump team lawyer was talking to for advice was Laura Ingraham. And lo and behold, because Laura Ingraham chewed out, Christina Bob live on air last week. I think that's why we got this filing Monday. Trump must have been watching Fox News and he was like, yeah, Laura, you tell that bitch, get out here and do some work. Unfortunately, it didn't fare too well in court Monday. Don't get your legal advice from Fox News. That'd be my take on that. Yeah.
Well, I doubt that Laura Ingraham said, like, hastily throw together a poorly written filing that, like, doesn't touch on the legal basics. Anyway,
are you sure? Like, it's entirely
she's a lawyer, or she was, and she worked at like a white shoe firm. I'm sure she is or was competent. Her problem is that she's like a terrible person. Anyway,
yeah, evil. She's an evil person, which, you know, usually makes for great lawyering. Anyway, on to other news. President Biden said Wednesday that he is appointing Kim Cheadle as the new director of the Secret Service as it faces scrutiny over the missing text messages related to the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. It's about goddamn time. Get everyone out of there who was remotely involved in not only the insurrection on January 6th, but anyone who might potentially even be close to the cover up, even if they're not necessarily involved or even liable for the missing text. Just get them out just in case. Like, better safe than sorry. Ty, would you agree that Biden should be cleaning house?
I would. You can't have, I don't know why you would try to get answers from the people who betrayed you on why they betrayed you. Explain why.
I don't know how to do the math on that.
I guess they didn't.
Yeah, I feel like, hey, if somebody tried to stab me in the back, I probably wouldn't be like, hey, bro, you tried to stab me in the back. Would you like to sit down and have a kind, thoughtful conversation as to why perhaps maybe you were planning and plotting to stab me in the back? I can't see why they would want to answer that question.
Is this the first woman head of the Secret Service? I see she was the first woman assistant director of protective operations, but
I don't think she was the first head of the Secret Service, but yeah, I do think she was the first. Ty, you okay there?
I am.
Gonna mute you while you're blowing your nose.
No, I mean, it's okay. Blow your nose right into the microphone. Do we need to get you some Mucinex or?
No, she's muted. My bad.
We can get. Oh, you disappeared. Why are you leaving us, girl? We need you. We love you.
I mute. Yeah.
Are you blowing your nose again? It's okay. You don't have to mute yourself to blow your nose. We'll take your.
I did it. I was the muter.
Hey, you unmute her right now.
She could unmute herself. Right, ask. I will press ask to unmute. This is gold. Everyone loves hearing this stuff.
Well, I mean, hey, if she wants to keep her germs to herself, that's fine. But we would take them gladly. You know, there's. It's not like it's a global pandemic where people spreading a deadly virus around or anything. So we don't have that to worry about.
What's that you're saying? Both COVID and monkeypox spread through podcast, and all of our 18 listeners are deathly ill now?
Ugh. Hey.
Bum, bum, bum.
Hey, now you take that back. At least 20 something people are going to be listening to this podcast over the next month or two. God
bum,
damn it.
Bum, bum.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, yeah, Kim Cheadle, I think she's the first woman to be in charge of like the actual physical protection of you know, like the president, vice president, such and such. Quite an accomplished feat. She is a Secret Service veteran. I think she spent 20 plus years, maybe 25 years with the Secret Service. Definitely was involved with the Secret Service during Biden's administration, Obama's administration. Jesus, look, I'm a boomer. The names are just all colliding all at the same time. I can't get it together. Yeah.
Anyway, good job, Biden. We're excited to see what you get going with the people who stop you from getting hurt. I'm into that. I'm into you not getting hurt.
For sure.
Perfect segue.
We don't need any accidents. I mean, I would love a President Harris, just not that way. Let me knock on wood. All right. Okay. On to the DOJ, due to court order, released the Office of Legal Counsel memo that Bill Barr used to justify not charging Trump with obstruction of justice. And in my personal opinion, it was as chock full of bullshit as you could possibly imagine.
Well, yeah, I think my mistake was trying to read it in good faith. And I was starting to doubt myself, like, I don't understand. I don't understand what they're saying. It's like, oh, I see. No, this is like the bullshittiest bullshit ever.
Understatement.
I mean, yeah.
Well, first of all,
like, well, like, because we didn't do the crime that we were planning, like, you can't, there's no underlying crime. And there's, oh, how can you compare the president to other cases? Because, like, those cases were not the president. And therefore, like, I don't know, that they do actually address the standards of proof that it's supposed to be. I'm not sure these legal standards are accurate. It's beyond they want it to be sufficient to support a conclusion beyond a reasonable doubt, just to bring the charges.
Is that the standard for bringing an indictment? No.
It's like a standard for a conviction. How can you have the same standard? That seems like they're adjudicating it on the merits. But, I mean, they give a lot of really circuitous reasoning. Special counsel reached no conclusion as to whether the president had violated any criminal law or whether, if so, such conduct warranted prosecution. So, like, there was no conclusion, and they're saying, like, well, if there's no conclusion, that means you have to proactively not prosecute, like, you know, they go on to talk about how Trump didn't have intent because he just thought that he just wanted to know what the investigation was, and he was worried that it was making him look bad. It's like, well, yeah.
Yeah, a president should be allowed intervene. To obstruct an investigation if he thinks it's going to be bad for his fucking political okay, look, for those of you out there who aren't familiar, there was an investigation into Donald Trump's campaign involving the 2016 election as it pertained to Russian interference on his behalf. There was a whole hullabaloo about that. I mean, I can't imagine any of you, if you're listening to this, I feel like it's totally impossible for you to have missed that. Because it was an investigation into Trump's campaign and Trump was the president, a special counsel was appointed with the idea that the investigation not become politically biased in favor of the president, since he has control to some degree over the Justice Department. Special counsel Robert Mueller was appointed at the conclusion of his investigation after 2 years, based on a memo from the Office of Legal Counsel stating that a sitting president can't be charged with a crime. Robert Mueller concluded that because his office was bound to operate under the assumption that they would not be able to charge Trump because he was president, that he also could not say publicly whether or not he believed Trump had or had not committed a crime. And in that vacuum, what Bill Barr did, because he knew that Robert Mueller couldn't accuse Trump, he took it upon himself to go to the Office of Legal Counsel and tell them basically that, hey, Trump needs to be cleared. Write me a memo reaching that conclusion. I don't care how you get there. And that's what happened. I can't remember the guys. Is it Engel, perhaps? What was his position? PADAC?
Assistant Attorney General.
Yeah, man, I'm fuzzy on these details. You'll have to Google all this. This is a lot. I'm not a legal expert. Again,
I just happen to have the memo up on my screen.
Ah, got you. Yeah, look, I'm no Laura Ingraham. but if you read the memo in its entirety, some of the conclusions you would come away with is like, well, I guess obstruction no longer exists if this is the way the law is interpreted by the Department of Justice. Because, I mean, if you're the president, you can just do anything because nothing's illegal.
It has like a real OJ wrote it vibe. If I did it. if he did, yeah, it has that vibe here, and they're like, well, he did portray obstructive acts, but like,
yeah, because there was no underlying crime, can't charge him with obstruction. Conveniently leaving out the fact that, hey, maybe the obstruction prevented Robert Mueller from being able to find conclusive evidence Trump committed a crime. I don't know. And then it goes on to other issues like, oh, you know, offering a pardon to potential suspects in exchange for them not testifying. You know, dangling a pardon is not a crime. And also just it's some of the worst legal reasoning you could possibly imagine.
Here's one that stuck out to me.
I mean,
president's potential obstructive conduct amounted to attempts to modify the process under which the special counsel investigation progressed rather than efforts to impair or intentionally alter evidence. So this is kind of like their election strategy. They're like, you know, saying everything is fraud strategy instead of trying to say to challenge the content of what happened. They're just harping on the rules. So it's okay for him to change the rules of an investigation and try to get the whole construct changed. Like they're trying to say this like brain swapping conspiracy to like rearrange everything to fit their narrative is somehow less obstructive than if he had just like deleted the evidence. And then of course we can talk about what happened with the evidence, but that was 2 years later.
I don't know. I look, they're like, oh, he only put the tip in of obstruction. He didn't like give him the whole, yeah, the whole, yeah. Yeah. They're like, he only obstructed a tiny bit. Therefore, it's not, it's so bad. So bad.
Yeah, when it comes to actions otherwise lawful in themselves, the court emphasized the need to exercise restraint in assessing the reach of a federal criminal statute. And you don't want to, the act of underlying conviction, act underlying the conviction is by itself innocuous. It is not inherently malign and could be performed for appropriate non-criminal reasons. Like, this is just, they go on with reasoning like this. I mean, they're technically stating some precedent, but like.
Hey, look, good luck. Good luck trying to understand the nature of that memo. Yeah.
And no, they're making like a patchwork doll. Like of all the pieces of like, this is like the ear of someone who was innocent. And like, this was the nose of someone who was innocent. And like, when you stitch it all together, it kind yeah, of, you know,
it's like an innocent person. See?
There.
Yeah. Look, the conclusion you can draw from it is Barr assumed that this memo would never come to light and never face scrutiny. And at the moment, all he needed was just enough justification to look like he independently came to the conclusion that Trump was not guilty of any crimes. He failed at that. Yeah, we got the memo. This is some fuck shit. I don't know what the FBI or rather DOJ process is for reopening a case that was closed due to prosecutorial discretion. I don't know what that process is. Maybe someone who out there who's familiar with how the Department of Justice works wants to chime in. I don't know. It's not my, it's more than I'm equipped to handle. But I assume if it were that easy, Garland probably would have reopened this case and maybe filed. I don't know. Yeah. Reckless speculation there. I don't know what the fuck, what, yeah. Good luck. Yeah. Ty, are you still alive? Do we need to come rescue you? Do we need to send the chopper? Arnold Schwarzenegger style, get to the chopper.